Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family. But I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about...
Freedom!
Your freedom, no excuses on the Freedom Report podcast. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Today is January 8th, Thursday. And today's topic, I'm just going to go a little bit off the cuff today. I don't have an article to read from to topically sort of set the stage for you, but I want to discuss to you the concept of free speech, and I think it's an important topic, especially in light of the shootings in France over the Charlie Hebdo, the cartoons that were published that stirred up so much Islamic hatred for the radicals that they decided to come in and murder 12 journalists and cartoonists. And I want to talk about that free speech specifically because I recently had my free speech pulled back. And I know you guys are going to say, oh, no, your free speech was not restricted because it wasn't the government restricting your free speech. Well, my free speech wasn't restricted. My speech was restricted. But I was basically banned from Facebook for 3 days. And, you know, I'll be honest, I am a bit of a troll. You know, they say a troll. I'm not really a troll, because a troll is someone who does something just to make people angry. But I don't say what I say just because I want to make people angry. Yes, I want to get a rise out of people. I want to get a reaction from them. But I want to do it by giving them the truth in a satirical way, a lot of ways. And, in a way, sort of like what Charlie Hebdo does. You know, they are satirizing more than just the cult of Islam. They're satirizing Christianity and Judaism and all the other religions of the world, which, you know, I'm not a big religious guy. I'm a secular libertarian, and I'm tolerant of religion, but I'm critical of it. And so, I'm going to be on the Sun News Network here in a little bit at 11:15 a.m. this morning, about an hour. By the time you listen to this, it's probably over, but they're going to have me on to respond to these attacks. And, you know, I found myself conflicted because, you know, the classical liberal values that I hold, I think to myself of all the, neoconservatives who are advocating, oh, for war and always intervention and stuff like that. And it's very hard to defend classical liberal values. It's very hard to defend non-interventionism when you have these kinds of terrorist attacks going on and when you have people trying to repress free speech. And it's more than just about just the terrorist attack, right? It's more than about just killing these journalists. It's more than that. It's about the fact that it's about the chilling effect that the killing of these journalists has. I mean, I don't know if you ever heard, but there was an episode of South Park which featured the Prophet Muhammad, and the episode was actually pulled. The South Park episode was pulled from television. It wasn't allowed to appear because they were afraid. They were terrified. And that's what these killings are all about. It's not just about silencing these cartoonists. It's about silencing free speech. And so I think it's not just government that can go against free speech. I think as classical liberals, we have to understand that. It's not just government that goes against free speech. You know, other groups can work to inhibit your free speech in many ways. And certainly Islamic terrorism in such a way is an inhibition on free speech. Now, comparing this to my own situation, I don't know if you follow my pages, my website is the Libertarian Republic. I've also got Liberty Viral. And I have multiple Facebook pages and Twitter accounts, right? And I use these social media platforms in order to expand the message of classical liberalism, the message of libertarianism. And while I still was able to produce podcasts, I was still able to produce content on my website, on the Libertarian Republic, I was banned from Facebook for 3 days. And let me tell you why I think I was banned. And I'm going to try and be intellectually honest here, because the truth is that I was aggressively attacking three men who were, one was a conservative statist, Josh Flashman, and you can actually go back and see my previous podcast in the last couple of weeks when you listen to them, and you can hear, you know, me going off on these guys, and I'm being very aggressive. But when I say I'm being aggressive, I wasn't being aggressive aggressively. I was being aggressive defensively. Because here's what happened. Josh Flashman, he was angry because I was posting all of these memes on my page where I got banned, my professional Austin Peterson page. I was banned there. I was posting these memes about, well, you know, you should just follow the law, which was this whole, post-Christmas hubbub that I got involved in where people were saying, well, if Eric Garner didn't want to get killed by the NYPD, he should have just followed the law. Which is, I was debunking the idea that, you know, the law is always moral. You should always follow the law. Well, should Rosa Parks have followed the law? Should the Underground Railroad not have happened? Should they have just followed the law? Should Bundy, that the Bundy Ranch, should the locals not have defended themselves against the feds? You know, and all that. And Flashman was this butthurt Marine who came in and was angry and was, you know, he started making threats. And as soon as somebody starts threatening me, I get aggressive. I get very, very aggressive. But I get aggressive with my speech. You know, he's threatening violence, and the other two guys were also, they were threatening violence. And I get aggressive defensively. So when I look at things like this, the situation where I was banned from Facebook, and I look at the situation in Charlie Hebdo, where these Muslims are massacring people for their free speech, I see these parallels. And it makes me, and I think we have to discuss the reality is that free speech is not always an issue of government interference in free speech. Or maybe we should just say speech, interference with speech. Maybe free speech should be the phrase that we use when referring to government inhibitions on free speech. But when my speech, when I'm banned from Facebook for 3 days, which is where I have been, today's Thursday, I've been blocked since, let's see, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I was blocked from Facebook from communicating with people. And this is actually, I think it's dangerous for Facebook to do things like that to people like myself, people who are credentialed reporters and journalists, of which I am. I think it's dangerous for Facebook to do that without at least consulting, because when the terrorist attack was going down yesterday, I was unable to communicate with my followers. What if I had been in France? What if I had friends in France? What if there was something that I could have done to project the message to help people out there? And, you know, people would say, well, that's your fault, Austin, for attacking, you know, this guy, Joshua Flashman, and then these two other guys, which I'll talk about in a minute. But if responding aggressively to aggression is offensive to someone, well, cue. Seriously, golf. Go yourself. And I'm self-censoring there because iTunes doesn't like it when I upload podcasts with bad words. So there. But that's me. I'm voluntarily pulling back on my speech there. But here's why I think I was banned was because, not specifically because of Flashman, because I definitely came after Flashman hard because he was threatening me with violence. And the other two were threatening with violence, and not just violence, but, you know, it was so creepy. This guy, Christopher Flood, who I talked about in the podcast, you can see one of my other ones. I think it's the one right before this one, two before this one. I talked about Hillary Clinton yesterday. But my speech was restricted by Facebook. I was banned for 3 days because Christopher Flood and Darnell Jenks, I don't know who these guys are, two liberals, but Christopher Flood called a rape victim a slut, said she must have wanted it because he saw in a news report that the boyfriend who beat up this rapist, alleged rapist, accused rapist, heard moaning in the bedroom. So he hears so when he sees moaning, he thinks, oh, well, moaning, she must have wanted it. What a slut. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And listen, I report on instances like the UVA case and Lena Dunham, where these are people who are trying to get attention by claiming victim status and lying about rape. I even did a podcast. You can read one of my podcasts. Go back like 5 or 6 shows ago. I did a show. Do women lie about rape? Absolutely. But I don't automatically assume that every woman is lying about rape. I assume that, you know, men or rapists are, you know, they are innocent until proven guilty, absolutely. And I definitely am more skeptical of people like Lena Dunham when they speak out or more outrageous claims. But I sure as hell don't immediately jump just because I hear you would read moaning in a press release about an incident, I don't think, oh, she's moaning. Well, she must have wanted it. I mean, that's the mind of a psychopath. And sure enough, when I posted, I reposted Chris Flood calling that rape victim a slut. I reposted his words verbatim. That guy, that narcissistic sociopath, who just happened to be a liberal Occupy Wall Streeter, which I didn't know at the time, attacked me. And he attacked me aggressively, simply for reposting his words. And he attacked me aggressively. When I say attacked me aggressively, he made threats of violence to me directly, which I also posted publicly, and also sent me naked pictures of himself, and pictures not only of himself, but of another woman fellating him. And I was being grossed out. I mean, why would you send naked pictures of yourself to dude? I mean, I have it all. I've got it all categorized and put in my enemies list folder. Yeah, you don't. So somebody's going to want to see that folder one day when I die. But my speech was restricted because then he started calling all of his butthole friends to come and attack me. It turns out they're all claiming Occupy Wall Street status, which I think was a mistake because then it's turned into an ideological war. And we missed the issue. We missed the forest for the trees. But guess what? All of these, I posted this as well. Darnell Jenks, which is Christopher Flood's loser friend, another liberal, went to the Occupy Wall Street pages on Facebook, marshaled an army of Occupy Wall Street idiots, and they came over to my professional page and they started reporting all my posts. And when that happens, Facebook immediately responds to that by issuing a ban. They blocked me for 3 days. 3 days. And you know, again, it's not my free speech. The government isn't inhibiting my free speech here. Facebook is simply, you know, removing my ability to access my fans. Now, here's the deal. Not only was I not able to communicate with you directly through my professional page, but I was not able to even communicate on my personal page. I have a professional page and I have a personal page. And my personal page is where I post silly cat pictures and talk with my friends and family and my girlfriend and all my, you know, my loved ones. And I kind of keep that semi-private. There's 3,000 people on that stinking page, but I try and keep it semi-private to at least to people who are, the place where it's a safe place for me. You know, it's where only people who love me and who are really my friends can be on that page. But I couldn't even post there. I couldn't even talk to my friends or family. I mean, I understand, you know, you're like, oh, well, Austin Peterson, the professional producer, is a jerk and we need to silence him over here. But I was silenced personally by, I couldn't even like my friend's posts. I was seeing all this activity going on and boy, that was really sad. You know, it was sort of like being dead, but still being able to see everything going on. And you can't give your friends thumbs up when they do something or say something cool or agree with them or converse with them. And it kind of scared me because I see how powerful Facebook is. And guys, we have got to talk about this because, listen, I mean, Facebook doesn't like me, okay? Facebook doesn't like me at all. And maybe that's my approach, but you know, it worked for some people and not for others. You know, I look at my competitors and I've tried to do an honest analysis over whether, you know, the problem is my content. You know, is the approach the problem? And I don't think it is, because a lot of times I will post or repost something that's either exactly similar or a copy or just the exact same thing as some of my competitors, other libertarians on Facebook who have similar size followings and stuff like that. And they get way more reach and way more traffic. And, you know, I can admit, hey, maybe some of that is my, again, I'll be intellectually honest here. You know, a lot of people just don't like me, and that's okay. But I have a hard time thinking that Facebook hasn't put me in some sort of bad zone here, that they've sort of cordoned me off. And the reason is because, again, there's a discrepancy in how much reach I get versus my competitors when I post the exact same thing or do it before them. So, you know, I've had to sit down and kind of analyze, have I cultivated a bad audience? Have I created an audience of people who are not loyal, of bad customers? Because, you know, it's certainly punishing my Facebook pages and their traffic. And Twitter is useless in terms of driving traffic compared to Facebook. And there really is no other alternative. So when I was shut off of Facebook, I was not able to communicate important news and information to the people who came to me for that. Now, Facebook already does this by limiting the amount of reach that I get, in the sense that they do that to everyone. It used to be I could reach 16% of my fans. Now I can only reach, you know, 2 to 6% of my fans. And I understand they do that because they want you to buy advertisements and all that, and there's not enough room in the news feed. But when there were critical, important, breaking news stories happening, like this Charlie Hebdo attack, and I wasn't able to communicate with you guys, I got a little scared for the future of free speech when this one platform, which you're going to click on, you're going to click to this podcast from Facebook already, it's probably how you got here, I got scared when I realized that I couldn't communicate to you all about some of the most important topics that were going on. How could I communicate to you about these attacks, Islamic terrorism? How could I contribute to the dialogue without Facebook? And I realized that I couldn't. I mean, I was over on Twitter, you know, all 4,000 of my fans, and then I retweeted some of the stuff on the Libertarian Republic page. It's got like 30,000 followers or whatever. And you know, but the problem with Twitter is that it just doesn't have the reach. Now, again, I'm complaining about something that is in the free marketplace. Facebook doesn't owe me a platform, and they certainly don't owe me the right to speak on their platform, and I admit that. But when we're we have to talk about things like power structures. And in the media, Facebook is the media. And here's the thing. They're not only the power makers. They are not only the brokers, the power brokers for who gets ahead. And apparently I've been put in the bad box. But because there are other libertarian pages that are smaller or that have grown enormously while I have done the same things and produced better content, objectively better content, but they do way better. And I think it's because there is a segmentation going on behind the scenes there at Facebook. They are literally power brokers. And so we have to talk about us free speech advocates, or us speech advocates, people who want there to be more proliferation of viewpoints and an even playing field. We don't have that. We do not have that, ladies and gentlemen. There is no alternative to Facebook, really. Pinterest is not it. Twitter isn't it. You know, I've been doing this for a year and a half, and I'm not going to lie, I'm suffering right now, because when I was growing in the beginning of last year, I was able to take on an employee. I was able to, you know, make bank, you know, do very well. And then we had the algorithm change, and I have, you know, some people were punished, some people weren't. And I've been punished. So I've had to get very creative with how I raise money in the last few months. It's not been easy. And when I get banned like that for 3 days from Facebook, where my most hardcore fans, when I can't speak on my Austin Peterson page to the 16,000 or so people who follow me there, I mean, you guys, those people are my hardcore of hardcores. And if I can't communicate with them, I mean, the Libertarian Republic, that's a mix of like conservatives and libertarians and anarchists and all that kind of stuff. And they are honestly, all 143,000 of them, they are a much less reliable, much less engaged audience than the people who follow Austin Peterson, follow me directly. So the fact that I could post to the Libertarian Republic, you know, I have other administrators that can at least post to the Libertarian Republic while I was gone, but it just doesn't get anywhere near as much attention or as much traction as when I speak directly from my professional page. So the fact that was cut off, I lost my voice. And I lost my ability to project my voice into the ether. And, you know, I'm actually doing something very dangerous here, not just by criticizing, you know, Islamic totalitarianism, which I am, but by speaking out against Facebook, because they are all powerful. They are all powerful in terms of the media. They are more powerful now than the mainstream media is. And I say that because I read a study recently where now it is believed that Facebook is more influential on presidential elections than television news. Makes perfect sense. Of course, there's billions and billions of people on Facebook. How many people watch, you know, ABC or CBS or MSNBC? Not many. But ladies and gentlemen, I won't lie. I'm struggling here to sort of keep this business together and make it going. You know, I've got a lot of things, good things going for me, but the primary impediment to my ability to get out to you is Facebook. Right now, I think my only opportunity to sort of turn this around is to take on an investor, do a big advertising buy, build up an email list, which is really what I need to be doing because at least an email list I own. So I'm going to be focusing on that very aggressively in the next few months. But if you're listening to this show and you know me, Leif Beaverson, Liberty Champion, and you think I'm a good guy and you know that I'm trying to do the right thing, I want you to do me a favor, okay? At the very least, please go to iTunes and go to the Freedom Report where this show is housed. Leave me a good review. That kind of stuff will help. It doesn't cost a thing. And if you're one of those crazy ANCAPs like me and one of those crazy, you know, like limited government types who owns Bitcoins, who loves the, you know, free market monetary system, if you want to spare a Bitcoin, you know, I know it's a Bitcoin's a lot, so maybe just like a fraction of a Bitcoin, I would really appreciate that too, to help me grow. And, you know, click on some advertising at the Libertarian Republic. That's also helpful to me. I really, really would appreciate it. Or make a small donation. If you go to the libertarianrepublic.podbean.com, there's a little PayPal donation page, and you can send Federal Reserve notes, too. Trying to keep this all together, ladies and gentlemen. Keep this going. I was banned for 3 days, but now I'm back. And, you know, I don't think I really got a lot of solutions necessarily in this podcast, but I did want to talk to you about these issues, the problems that we have of free speech. The problems that we have with free speech don't just come from government. They come from groups like Islamic totalitarianism, and they come from dictatorial social media sites that pick and choose winners and losers. Now, that's their right. It's their prerogative. They own the platform. It's totally fine for them to do so. They have every right to do so. But just remember that when we are all at the behest of a single entity for us to practice a basic individual right, then we are in danger. And we must discuss possible alternatives. Okay? Okay. Well, thanks for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. I hope that you guys are enjoying the free speech that I'm engaging in. Again, if you are, do me a favor, subscribe. You can find us on iTunes. Leave me a 5-star review. Write Liberty Beaverson is the cool guy, and that would be really awesome. And also, you can find us on Stitcher. There's the Android app, which is basically, you download it, you can get the updates. Subscribe regularly, listen every single day. Don't forget to come back to the LibertarianRepublic.com, your home for economic freedom and personal liberty.